I want to talk about two pieces of Agatata that appear. There's a very long Agatata that goes for like 2-3 blot. There's a lot of Agatata in the 10th Perek. But there are two little Agatata that appear on Kuf Yud Bet. They got me thinking that we should talk about the methodology that's used there. And both of these Agadot instruct people to model their spiritual life after animals. Both. One's on Amud Aleph, one's on Amud Bet, but I gave you the full quotes on the sheet because it's a quote here, quote there. It's both on Kuf Yud Bet. But I wanted to try to understand it and talk a little bit about how Chazal use imagery and metaphor, and whether these metaphors are in any way connected, or it just happens to be that on one daf we have these wonderful mishalim of animals, and that's what I want to do. Okay, so the first piece of the Gemara says as follows: First on Amud Aleph, Tana de Bei Eliyahu. Afal pi sha'amar Rabbi Akiva, asay Shabbat chakol v'al titztarech labriot. Even though Rabbi Akiva says you should make your Shabbat like a weekday, rather than require other people, meaning required staka. Aval osehu davar mu'at v'toch beito, but you should still do something in your house to acknowledge the fact that it is Shabbat. Mine inhu. What is that thing you should do? And I put English and no one can whine to me. Amar ha-papa kasa de harsina. You should at least make yourself fried fish. Yeah. That is how you celebrate Shabbat if you're poor. Kiditnan. Rabbi Huda omer. Like it says in the Mishnah. Have Rabbi Huda ben Tema omer. Have az kanemer v'kal kanesher. Ratz katzve v'gibor ka'ari la'asot ritzon avicha shabashamayim. Be light, be bold like a leopard, light as an eagle, run like a deer, strong as a lion to perform the will of God in heaven. And the Mishnah he's quoting is obviously number two, is Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Ve'az Kanemer, Ve'kal Kanesh, Ve'az Katzvi, Gor Kari, La'asot Rezon Avicha Shabbat Shamayim, Hu Hayo Omer, and Yehuda ben Tema would in addition say, Az Panim L'Gehinom, the brazen face goes to hell, Uvoshet panim leGan Eden, whereas the shamefaced, the humble, goes to the Garden of Eden. He ratzon lo fanecha. Ooh, no, no, ouch, real shamos. Okay, again. When we're done, this is the problem. I do it on Sfar to get you English, and then I end up with shamos. God, he ratzon fanecha shem agenish divanu. Ouch. God is punishing me for making your lives easier. This is the lesson. This is what I am learning. Oh no, I just took a siman. It's nichosh gefalt. Okay, we're doing a bad night here. Bad night. Okay, good. So, let's read the second Gemara. Guys, let's read the second Gemara and let's try to think about what these mean, okay? Then if you, on Amud Bet, you get the following. Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Meir. The bright, the lesson is taught in the name of Rabbi Meir. Reish Torah Bidikula. Sak Li'igara Ushidi Darga Mitutach. Even if the head of the ox is in its food basket, go out to the roof, kick the ladder from underneath you to escape it. And Amar Rav, and Rav says, Niza de Torah. Hein, hein. If you want to lead an ox, say hein hein. Niza de Arya, you want to lead a lion, zeze. Niza de Gamla, da da. Niza de Arba, you want to leave a camel, say da da. Niza de Arba, hilni chaya hila vihilo kulya. That, those words, say those words, okay? What? What laborers? We're talking about animals. Yeah, well, they have like when I was in fourth grade and we went to South Street Seaport, they taught us a sea shanty, right? You get the workers, you sing that's a sea shanty. You know what else did this? What? None of my New York, New Jersey people ever went to South Street Seaport. South Street Seaport, they used to teach us sea shanties. You get them to work, you sing in unison, you know, a sea shanty. It works. It does work. Yeah, it's very nice. Okay, good. So let's start, guys. So the first one is obviously metaphorical. The second one, as we will see, many of the Mefarshim assume is metaphorical, but we're going to get there. But let's start with the first one. The first one is actually a Mishnah. So what does it mean? Let's start Bigadol. What is the message? And then let's get into the Pratim. So first of all, I asked you, broadly speaking, what is the message of the Mishnah?
It's to see, like, in nature where these common traits are, like what the, like, paradigms of these traits are, and tell you to, like, replicate those for good purposes.
Okay, so Josh says the point is that when you're serving God, look at nature and replicate what you get from nature. Where else do we see this idea? I didn't give it to you because I was already at six pages. But where is the classic Gemara that says this? Very good. The ant one. Very good. The ant one. That was very precise, but I know what you mean. He's right. What is the ant one? Credit where credit is due, Rudy. The Gemara in Erevin Kuf Amud Bet says Amar of Yochanan Ilmole Lo Nitna Torah. If the Torah hadn't been given, we would learn modesty from the cat. The Gezel Minim and Allah, not stealing from ants. V'arayot miyona, and the prohibitions against forbidden sexual unions from doves. Derech eretz mitarnegol, shemefayas v'akach boel, and we would learn proper sexual ethic from a chicken, because first they appease the hen, they have, like, whatever. They make sure that the hen wants to copulate first, and then they mate, and you should do that too. Correct. Yes, yes. I assume that's part of the imagery. I'm not. Anyways, so one possibility is what Josh says, is the message here is that the fundamental message here is look at the natural world and squeeze out whatever lessons you can in the natural world to serve God. Okay. Anyone want to take it more abstractly, less abstractly? Okay, not meaningless. It's not meaningless, but what do you mean by that? Don't say meaningless, because that's... I mean, you could go more abstract, more general, which is, like, serve God. Like, just serve God. And, like, I don't know, why do we have these mashal? I don't know. Because we do. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, right? Maybe, like, people, you know, strong as a lion. Ooh, yeah. I mean, like, right, could just be... Good. What else might it mean?
He mentions that us is should be used to serve Hashem, but he also says us planning goes to
heaven. Oh, very good. Very, very good. So another possibility is, wait a second, you're over-reading. In the Gemara, that isn't hinted, but if you look at the Mishnah that's the source of the Gemara, you have to realize that there's actually two sides. It's a certain type. It's not just serve God. It's use the qualities of Azut, in the certain type of quality of Azut, I and which type of azut? The one that you learn from the Namer, and then you got to figure out what it is. So it's not just random. It's not just serve God. It's particular qualities, and the evidence for that would be the parallelism. Very good. What else? Now, all of you are assuming that this, whatever the lesson is, it's generic. Is that obvious? That whatever it's telling you, it means serve God, or serve God like the lessons you have from animals, or...
Oh, for specific mitzvahs.
Well, not specific mitzvahs. Come on, speak carefully. God, you're all like...
Well, meaning in terms of strength, you do one thing and swiftness.
If you didn't have the Mishnah, and you didn't know it was a standalone, you just had the Gemara, what might you say? If you just had the Gemara and not the Mishnah, what would you think? It does, but the Gemara says something before the Mishnah that you all are ignoring. You're forgetting it exists. Very good. So there's a major commentary who thinks that the pshat hangs entirely on that connection.
What's the connection?
But what if Mishnah is not with that?
You're right. And nevertheless, there's a major, major, major parshat who thinks that you can't understand this Gemara unless you can't understand the Mishnah unless you see the Gemara. Major. How major?
Pat Wager. So there's only one person who would rival that importance. He said Rambam. There's only one person who would rival that. No. No. Rashi. Rashi. Rashi.
Rashi thinks that you can't understand the Mishnah without the Gemara. And he says, wait a second. What's the connection between the line before? So he says, maybe you don't always need to be Az Kanemer and Nal Kanesher. But if you're impoverished and serving God is hard, then you need to find strength somewhere. So if you turn for a second to 7, Rashi says on the Mishnah, Bahi v'samuch lahi diriki v'degomar aseisha batcha kol tanin l'vsechet psochem barei psochem v'at l'ruel and l'omar v'kiv el misha shah docheket l'biyoter. That if someone is really poor and it's hard to serve God, then the Mishnah is giving you chizuk and saying, well, find the strength like a leper. And it's really just talking about things like Shabbat, Yom Tov, and the like. So Rashi says, you can't understand it without the connection. The point is, look, if everything is easy, so just serve God. But when it's really hard, you gotta dig in and find your kaychais.
But it's not like this is an exception case.
Yeah, that's what Rashi thinks. Correct. No, yeah, possibly even just Shabbat. I don't know. If you're poor, then he says, make it like a weekday and just make sure you do something special, even though you don't really have the money to do special. That's the point. So you don't really have the money to make it special. Saying, what?
What's the next line qualifying
then? According to Rashi, it's like, yeah, even when it's really, really, really hard to serve God, because you don't even have the money to do it, like, find the koach.
So it's still in the passive effect?
Yeah. It's, right, kid ditnan. Yeah, when you're poor and it's hard, and you have to, like, scrape the bottom of the barrel to find some way of serving God, do it.
It doesn't necessarily mean that's the interpretation of the Mishnah.
That's what he says.
I know, because all you...
No, that's what Rashi says.
Right.
I just said this. I said, okay. I said, it's hard. It's actually a hard read. Why is it a hard read? Because the Mishnah stands alone. Rashi amazingly understands the Mishnah in light of the qualification of the Gemara. Most Mefarshim do not. They just don't. So what does it mean? So we said, okay, so one possibility is it just means, like, serve God. Why do we use metaphor? I don't know. People think in metaphor. Second possibility is Josh's, which is, this is parallel to the Gemara in Erevin, which is look at the natural world and pull religious lessons out of the natural world. The third possibility would be, the third methodological possibility would be what? That each of these particular metaphors is not generic, and it's not just look for kolchot. No, each of these has a very specific model of Avodat Hashem that it's proposing, and you're supposed to get that. Yeah. Why what? Because. Correct. That's just an example of if you're really poor and you can't really afford to do anything special for Shabbat, so do something like fried fish, which is cheap. So according to Rashi, the answer is even when you're poor and it's really hard to serve God, find the koach to do something, even though it takes a lot of spiritual energy. And the answer, and that is finding the koach to celebrate Shabbat. The Mishnah doesn't talk about fish. Rashi assumes that the Gemara is read in light of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is read in light of the Gemara, rather. No, no. Fish is just the example of what you do to make Shabbat special, even though you don't have that much money, is you take fish, which is like a pretty cheap food, and you fry it, so you make it special. Of course you can't work. You don't. Yeah. As opposed to taking tzedakah, there's nothing to do with working on Shabbat. Working on Shabbat, you can't do. I mean, don't take tzedakah. It's better to scrape the right to push yourself to your monetary limits than take tzedakah.
Why is that?
Because taking tzedakah is bad.
So then, why are there so many people in Yerushalayim who will come up?
Because people, okay, we're not getting to this now. Because the ideal is not to have to take sukkah. If you can't, then you take sukkah. I would not expect it from you, Rudy. You're like so liberal, and now you're the one telling me that. No, seriously. No, I'm not joking. No. Don't you dare say they're different, because then you're victim blaming the way you wouldn't in America with any other ethnic group, and you're only doing Haredim. No, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear a word. I don't want to hear a word. No, done. I don't want to hear it. It's the exact same thing in America. No. No. Not listening. You wouldn't. No. I'm really not, because you would never do that in America. You never. You would do that. Oh my God. Oh my God. You wouldn't do this in America. You're only. Stop. No. Stop. Okay. So probably the most famous person who actually assumes that this is that you have to understand the specific metaphor is the tour. In the first siman of the first chelek of the tour, where the tour is telling you, here are my rules for life. This is what you need to know about Torah bichlal. When he boils down Kol HaTorah Kula to one sentence, it is this Mishnah. This is where he starts. And he says, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Rabbi Azkan Emer, Kal Kanesh, Razka Zbiko, Kari Lasser, Son of Echo Shemayim, Perat Arba Dvarim, Bavodet Habarei. He specifies four things in serving God. Bitchil ba Azkan Emer. First is be bold, strong as a leopard. Vishu Klal Gadol Bavodet Habarei Itbarach. Often people want to do the right thing, but people make fun of them. Oh, you're such a nerd. Oh, you want to learn. Why do you want to learn so much? Right? Oh, you're shomin negia. Right? Things like that. He's like, you need to develop a certain boldness to keep mitzvah. Okay, in his ear, shetayiz penechad keneged hamal igin. Be bold in front of those who make fun of you. Baal timna milasot mitzvah. V'chena riyochanam ben zakeli tamidav. Just like riyochanam ben zakeli told his students, yiratzon zemer shamayim aleichem kavara basav adam. That the fear of God should be like the fear of people. And they said, only that? And he said, halavai. Right, halavai. V'chenu omer lina nabusha. Shabamim adam Some people are more embarrassed than people they aren't God. Fine, so one is, don't let the people making fun of you, saying, oh, you're so frum, you flipped out, whatever, ignore them. Vamar Kal Kanesher, what is the model of lightness as an eagle? Keneged Ra'od Ha'ayin. So he says, eagles see, or griffin vultures technically, but okay, fine. They see very far. V'dimato L'Nesher. Kasher Nesher Shat Ba'avir, Kachu Ra'od Ha'ayin. Lomar Shetatzim Einecha Me'ra'od Bira, Kihi Tchilat Ha'avira, Sh'ayin Ro'e, Balev Chomed Uklea Ma'ase Gomren. The second is, be light like an eagle, because he says, eyes are the beginning of sin, as Chazal say, you see sin, and that gets the desire, right? So it goes from the eyes to the heart, and then to the body. So be like the nesher, like the griffin vulture, fly quickly, right? Don't dwell on the sin, fly over it, go! Use your sight, and quickly run away, do whatever you need to do, get away. And run like a deer or a gazelle to do mitzvot. Right? It's alacrity. Zrizut. Sometimes you'll see things, da-da-da. And he says, but what will happen? Sometimes, as quick as you are, and as much as you don't look at bad things, what happens? Sometimes, you can't control. You run into it. And then, when you can't control it, then he says, then you need to be like a lion. That's right. You need to be like a lion. And that's why you start at the morning like a lion to say, okay, my Yetzer Hara, I am stronger than it, than him, than you. I don't know, talk to it. I don't care. And he said, what's his example? And if anyone sounds, this sounds familiar to anyone, wasn't on purpose. It's the winter, and you get up. Oh, how am I supposed to get up? It's so cold, Rabbi. I don't want to go to shul. It's so cold. It's so far from 39. It's raining. Wow. Right, that. Oh, you should be kind. Or, I haven't slept long enough. I went to sleep so late. Oh, I can't do it. Get up, you lazy bums. Get up. Be like a lion. This is literally how the Torah. I just want to remind you. This is how the Torah starts. His halachic code is with teenage complaints. I can't get up. I'm so tired. I can't get this show on time. Get out of bed, you lazy bums, right? The lion can do it, and so can you. Quoting David, you should wake up the morning. Don't let it wake up you. And definitely don't wait to wake up the afternoon. Okay? Got it. Not talking about anyone in particular. What?
Do you record you saying that?
Deal. Deal. Get me a recorder. I will scream this at you. If it wakes you up, what? I'll get you this. I will custom record it for you, okay? I told you, my roommate did that when I was in yeshiva, right? Perfect, perfect recordings mimicking Rav Amital, right? Random things, different recordings every day. Sometimes, only once he did Rav Amital, I like fell out of bed. He was a perfect imitation. Very scary. Anyways, but the Torah says methodologically, right, what is this? It's not, oh, you should serve God. It's not serve God when you're poor. It's there are different qualities you need. You get them, right? Each one has a mashal. So what are for him? What are the four?
Standing up for like your belief.
The first is don't be embarrassed to do the right thing. The second is don't stare at mitzvot, right? Fly away from mitzvot. The third is do mitzvot with alacrity. And the fourth is when you want to do averot or you want to use excuses. Roar. It's like, I forget which gadol it was who like they said, that he would wake up in the morning roaring. And they were like, why? He's like, well, when I go to Shemayim, I don't want to fail on the first sif of Shulchan Aruch. Right? It's like they say, did you wake up like a lion? No, I woke up. Right? So he jumped out of bed. So apparently, I forget, it was one of these like 20th century gadolim that they said, like he would wake up, like he would get up, roar! You know? I didn't say what, but you know what? Hey, if that got people to hear on time for chakras, I don't care. Okay? If I hear that starting tomorrow, people who have trouble getting over chakras, instead, when their alarm goes off, they jump out of bed, roar! And then they go to, and they get here for chakras on time?
Rabbi, I don't know.
Somehow I think that wasn't what the Torah meant. I don't know. But if it works, Rudy, I give you. I don't know. No. I was going to say. It's. Yeah, no, you said. Right, that's what you do. You play Kalisha so that you wake up. Oh my God, it's Azar! Right? Anyways. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I got it. That's Lumdish Purim Spiel material. You know, it's like, get found! It's like, and just to make it perfect, it could be that song, I Can't Marry. It's like, yes. I don't know who that is, but okay. I don't know who that is. Did I say it right? Katie? Kate?
How would you know Madonna?
I mean, I know the name. Katy Perry, what is she? A pop singer?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a good guess. What?
Okay.
I didn't listen to anything. I know, but I also wasn't listening to anything.
Robert,
I don't know.
You listen to music, you listen to it 3x speed too, right?
I do that sometimes, yeah. It's soothing, I don't know. Anyways, yalla. Okay. anyways, so many of the Mefarshim take it this way. I gave you another example in the Marsha. Fun times, fun times. So he says, Arba Lishonam Bechulakim Krovim Minayim Beforash Betor Arachayim. He quotes what? I know. So I try not to, but sometimes. There's something to listen to single speed, sometimes. But I have done it on multiple. Not usually triple, double though. But Odie Shlomar, then I don't just take so long.
The whole point is that, so you're viewing as a chore, it's all, it takes so long. You would as every single
I'm sorry. It's Chatai Ani Maskira Hyum. I mean, if I'm playing music, like, okay, let's, yeah. Okay, Va'od Yishlomar. So he says, okay, there's the Torah, but then he quotes another Yishlo de Nakat. They're probably Nakat. Arba Lishon Shal Zirus. El Fishi Yishlo Adam Arba Monim. He says, no. All four of these are talking, are telling you that there are things that stop you. And these are four different ways of overcoming difficulties. Different difficulties. Now, what are they? Echad Hu Aniyut. One is poverty, which causes you, Shamavir Adam al Datkona, which makes you forget God. Abet Haim Ha'oivim Rishay Akum. The second is the enemies, the non-Jews, Rotim Lavir Yisrael Dat. Those are the people who want you to convert. Hashlishit Hi Amazal. Third is just bad luck. Fiyatel Doto. Right? It doesn't mean, right? It means bad luck. You'll see. Va'arba Monea Gadol Yitzhara. The fourth is the Yitzhara. V'yezal Mazar is Asmo Neged Arba Melingim Ba'ilu. And how does this work? So Az is to find the strength that you don't naturally have. Right? Is to like dig in and be bold when you don't really have it. So that's poverty, because I really don't have the resources. Kiperish Rashi. He quotes Kiperish Rashi. Very good. Very good. So then he goes, Kal Kanesher. That he thinks is negin mazaloha rabba shamayim. It's against my bad luck, right? It's you can outrun your luck, as it were. I don't know how that works, but okay. Or you fly over them luck. I'm not really sure. Ratz katzvi lizarzav negin harishayim larutz mivneim makom shesher lakayim midrashem is run away from the evil and find places where you can serve God. Kemosh azer shlufei shmad, like people who literally ran away right from shmad, and gibor kaari is negative the Yitzhahara. And what's his proof? Ezu Gibor, Hakovish et Yitzhahara, right? The most strength is needed for that. Now, I know I have six pages here, so I wasn't sure how much I'd get through. So before we continue with this, I wanted to show you. So far we talked about the first one. And again, we'll see there are many, many different Perushim, but they're all going to go in different directions, and we'll see a few of them. If we don't see all of them, it's fine. But I wanted to show you that the second one is interesting here, because the Meshul Chachma assumes that, because the first one, the fact that this might be something like this, some metaphor along this line, just sort of mitbakesh. Like, exactly how you want to play it out and what quality is. I mean, it's sort of mitbakesh, right? It's serve God and here's some animals and like the qualities mean something. What exactly do you think they are? Right? I mean, like Rashi saying it's only by poverty, but no, like the idea that it's something more general about Avodah Hashem is telling you, like, that's intuitive. And it's not like, if I read this Gemara, it's not like look at it and say, what could this possibly mean? It's so weird. It's not weird. I mean, it makes you think, but it's not like weird. The second one, the other one, is
kind of weird.
It's kind of weird. Kind of weird. So the Meshul Chachma, though, thinks that just like the first one is telling you something along these lines, the second one is also. Now, I gave you just a tiny piece out of a very, very long piece in the Meshul Chachma. many times this long. But he says, Habarur, but what I think what he says on the second one also helps you on the first one. Because what's the question that I'm literally left asking by the first one? Is what does it add by using metaphor? That's, I think, a question you always have to ask. So I understand that the Torah and the Marsha, they all say, well, this is what the metaphor means. It doesn't matter. That was a bead that one of my kids was swallowing that I had to put in my pocket. And, you know, because it got from somewhere and it was, you know, and then it was in my pocket, so it fell. I don't care. Okay. So you could just say, well, look, it's metaphorical. Metaphors are powerful. You could have stopped there. But there's another possibility. And that is, think Maimonidean for a second. For the Rambam,
when you think animal, what do you think? And for the Rambam, there's a division between the intellect and emotion, instinct, which is animalistic. It's part of being human, but it's the more animalistic part of being human. Again, I talked about it last week with you, that the fascinating claim about one of the philosophers from AI was that, right, the whole sort of medieval rationalist view that really started with Aristotle really had a very hard blow against it when they started realizing that the easiest thing to replicate through algorithms, kavachomer with AI, is rational thought, right? And emotions are hard, but rational thought, deductive reasoning, which was like the pinnacle of rational thought, is the easiest thing to do by computer, is actually the least unique to human compared to machine, but not compared to animal. But if you're thinking that way, animals, for many medieval rationalists, is the emotional instinctual. So why would you pick specifically animals to talk about Hashem? What might it be getting at? Correct, that it's even or specifically channel. Like, the fact that I say use your intellect for God is sort of obvious. The fact that I say to channel your animalistic qualities towards God, that's already a chiddush. Should Meshe Chachma take that as his starting point? But rather than read it into the first part of the Agadata, he reads it into the second, not two parts of one Agadata, but the second Agadata, and that's why I wanted to connect them, or I called it, right, two animal Mishalim, from Psachim 112. That's literally what this is. Meshe Chachma says like this. Habarur yaharagashot kulam bnuyot me'ateva. Emotion is built from nature. V'amuchash, asher degresh mehem lev ha'adav. Come on, va, va yofi, va gura, like love and beauty and strength. The early nations, they devoted all their energy to this. Because of a ritzum, and they valued it, and all these like emotions and things that we like and desire, they made them into gods. Elil hayofi, beauty became a god. Elil hagvura, strength became a god. Elil ha'ava, love became a god. Right? Aphrodite, Venus, the god of beauty is, of love is Aphrodite, right?
Yeah.
Of beauty is, what, also? What? Hera, maybe. And if somebody, a human being, had that quality, they called him like a demigod, son of God. And even now they grow these pictures and treat them with such sanctity. And they sanctify the senses, the sensual. So emotion drives this. Hashem's not like them. We recognize that God is not like that. He's not physical. You can't fathom him. You can't conceptualize. If you could describe him, he would have an end. He would be finite. And if he has an end, he has a beginning. But he's not. God is the infinite and the prime move for a creator, etc. Yachid Shenki Yehudo, he's the one like no other. Shula Yoter Mechara Yachalup Bechiluk Benehem Beitzit Sarva Yabalvul Shizinigmal. Right? He says the whole notion of talking about emotion is saying there's this quality, but that implies that he has this quality and not something else. God isn't like that. Is he Yuna Mitim Muskal Vamiu Chalasigo Arti Atabrinu Bachaya Zaken Shalivdu Behemed Raka Pilosofa and Yavi. And that's why Rabbeinu Bachaya said only the philosopher, the prophet, can serve God. Of Cholze Kol Yisrael Maminim Behemed Mitziuto. And yet all Jews believe in this unity of God. And he recognizes all these emotions are finite and fleeting. Since the Jews therefore give prime place to the intellect and not the emotion, because through intellect we can fathom God. I understand that he is one.
That's why we get killed. That's why we get killed, why we're willing to die for him. Since the time of Kriyat Yamsuf, that we wouldn't give up to the Mitzvah. Right? But now it also expresses itself in how we serve. It's not just the way we understand God, but once we understand the way we understand God is through the intellect, we also understand that in our avodat Hashem, we need the intellect to master the animalistic parts of ourselves. And with this, I can explain to you a very weird Gemara, a shocking Gemara. Which is Amarav Niza de Torah Hein Hein Niza de Arye Zeze Niza de Gamla Dada Niza de Arba Ilana Haya Hile Hilokulya, and he's like, what are you talking about? Vamechuvanu the Dvarim Atzichim LaOrera Balei Chayim. How do you get animals to move? What's the Gemara saying? Hein Bekol Echad Pashut. It's a single, simple voice. An Emar Benishne Kama Pamim Zeze Hein Hein. Right? There's no intellect. You're not communicating. To give you a halachic mashal, the Gemara says that even though normally you don't get malkut if you do in Isser, which is bepeh, or which is bedibur rather, if you're chosim bepeh, you get malkut. What's chosim bepeh? That instead of muzzling an animal when it's working, which we're not allowed to do, I don't muzzle it, but every time it leans its head down, I yell at it. I'm chayev. Why? Aren't I talking? The answer is no. Dibor is communication, not using your voice as a way of hitting it. Right? The animal, you're not communicating with it. You're scaring it. You're hitting it with your voice. Right? Animals, it's like zeze, hein hein, right? Hilmi, huki, huti, whatever. I don't know what these words are. But there's nothing. There's no communication. There's no intellect. But he says, if that's true of animals, that's true of our own taiva. He's like, your own taiva, sometimes, don't try to outthink it. Just yell at it. Right? Like some, or not yell at it, but he says, have the one thing that you say over and over again to convince yourself. Right? Don't, every time you have a taiva, if you start sitting there and start cheshbunning out, he's like, you're going to lose. What do you need? You need a pre-programmed thing. That whatever your taiva is, okay? I don't want to die. Wake up in the morning. Oh, it's so cold, right? It's
get up,
you lazy bum, right? It's all in your head, right? It's just simple message, right? It's learn. What's he saying? If you want to master yourself, you have to recognize the animalistic parts of yourself and not treat them as if the animalistic parts of yourselves are intellectual. They're not. You have two components, and what you need to do is to come up with exactly. Right. So, for example, he's like, if you have a desire, don't start cheshbening out. What should you scream? Like something like the Mishnah. Hakinava taiva motzina adam ha'olam. Hakinava taiva motzina adam ha'olam. Right. Desire and jealousy drive us in the world. Right, and he's saying this is basically Perkei Avot. It's one-liners, right? One-liners that get the point, right? Repeat that. Don't. That's not the time to sit down with a book. It's a time to come up with the one. Brevity is the soul of wit. But that's when you want. Avali Asher Hadeo. He says to get intellectual perfection. He said, look, to perfect your intellect. That takes time. If you're starting to think heresy, you don't believe in God, that requires sitting down, philosophical argumentation. But to defeat the animal inside of you, you need to treat it like an animal. You need to yell at it. You need to say, Zaza, hey, hey, right? Whatever it takes. That's how he understands the second one. But I'll be honest, that his interpretation, the second one, is even more beautiful than the first. Because he says, the second one is, if I want to control the animal inside of me, his answer is, treat it like an animal. But I would say, and I don't know why anyone doesn't just say it, maybe this is what they're getting at, but the Meshachma really provides a much more beautiful way of understanding the Yudhavan Tema,
which is, no, you know what the best way of defeating the animal is, in you is? To channel, recognize the power of those instincts, of those, and use them for good. Right? Tap into the power of the visceral. Because emotions and instinct, they are powerful. And if you can rile yourself up to do the right thing, oh, how powerful that is. That, right, and they, right, they've pointed this out before, right? They've done all these amazing studies that basically create, right, you know, the famous philosophical mashal of the donkey that starves to death because they're exactly, right, exactly. What? So they've actually found that human beings, when their emotions are affected, or when they can't feel, end up in the same state. That they actually can't, right? That we need emotion to push us, because otherwise we overthink things and we never do it. And we like end up starving to death because it's like, well, should I have an apple? Should I have an orange? Apple, orange, apple, orange. It's like, so that interesting. They're not sure about that. But they said in general, the way we actually make decisions is we recognize that certain things, we just make a decision, right? Emotion allows us to make decisions, right? Intellect helps us figure out what the right decision might be, but we need often emotions to push us over that edge. So I think if you wanted to unite it, and this is, right, again, if we don't get through every parish, that's really fine. But the basic idea I wanted to get at is this, is that the two Gemaras, I think, are saying something powerful, that when we say, be like an animal, it's because we recognize, for the Meshech Chachma, it's we need to treat the animal within us like an animal. But I think the first statement is saying something more powerful, is you really want to recognize that you have animal in you. It's not just enough to defeat it, but you should channel it. Right? You should use your intellect to figure out how you should channel the emotions, and that's why it invokes animals. It's saying, don't deny that the animal exists within you. Recognize it, own it, channel it, control it, or to use the very important mashal that you've probably heard from, I'm pretty sure, oh no, I know, he definitely said it. All right, Aronson used this, when he gave Musser a few weeks ago, the elephant and the rider, right, from Jonathan Haidt, yeah. Right, the image of the elephant and the rider, that the elephant is our emotional being, right? And the part of us that doesn't want to change, and the rider is our intellectual standing that wants us to change. And the goal is for the rider to control the elephant, right? I think when you take the Meshech Chachma and you combine it with the first half, that's the point of both, right? Is to recognize how to control the animal. Part of it is to know how to stop it when it's going in the wrong direction, and part of it is to know how to channel it. But it's specifically the recognition of the animalistic inside of us, its power and its danger that justifies using the animal metaphor, right? That's what I think is key to this, right? And the more I was thinking about it, I think that's the key to why Chazal invoke. And then when you think about it, it's very, very powerful, right? It's instead of in the morning, it's the most natural thing to not want to get up in the morning. But instead, we say, channel your inner animal, right? Don't let your, right? Exactly. Roar yourself out of bed if that's what it takes. What do you mean?
And how would you read this interpretation into the idea?
Well, so according to Rashi, you'd be like, you only need that when things are hard. But the simple shot would be even when things are hard. Or specifically when things are hard, that's when you have to, that's like when you dafka have to remember those kochot. Because sometimes when things are hard, the only way is to channel.
And possibly even further, when things are hard, specifically when emotions are trying to go the opposite.
Correct. And that's when you've got to like double down and say, no. Right, now, again, you can see now in the other 4.5 pages I gave you that the Mefarshim go in many different directions of the exact lesson that we're learning. And again, I think the general image, especially after Meshech Chachma, which is amazing, is clear, but you see differences. For example, if you look at the Bar Tanura, he says that Az Kanemer is don't be afraid to ask your Rebbe what you didn't understand. Right? Don't be embarrassed in Talmud Torah. Kal Kanesher is also be, right, pursue your Torah and not be exhausted. Right, Ratz Katzvi is run after mitzvot.
And Gibur Kari is Lichbosh et Yitzricha min Ha'averot. Right? So it's Talmud Torah, it's Mitzvah. Again, what exactly you plug in, right? You could have, you know, you could have very different interpretations. The Zroa Yamin, if you go back to 8, he says that Az Kanemar is like this. Eshel Lavinia Az Kanemar Negeda Yetzer. By Averot, you have to be brazen, right? So not, he doesn't think that the Az, the Ari is on Isurim. He thinks the Az is on Isurim. Right? The Az Kanemar is on Isurim. But don't rely on the fact and say, well, I'm brazen enough, I can get over it. Because, and here, right, he thinks it's not four separate metaphors, but it's actually a four-step metaphor, which is why I added him, right? Because there's different tweaks. There's four different, he thinks it's a four-step. He says, first, be A's, but don't rely on being A's because animals get caught. Right? As fast as, strong as it is, get caught. But who, you know who doesn't get caught in a trap on the ground? Yeah, one that flies. Very good. So he's like, look, be A's to conquer your Yetzer Hara, but don't be so confident because they do get caught. So be like the fast, you know, griffin vulture, Velo Tamtin, right? As soon as the Hasata comes, fly away, right? Don't just say, I'm strong enough. Right? You have to be strong to conquer the Yetzerim, the Yetzer Hara. But if you wait for the Yetzer Hara and say, well, I'm ready for whatever you throw at me. I'm strong. Leopards also get caught. So he says, you need strength, but you also have to be smart. And the first thing you should do is, if you can, get away. Right? That's step two. So he says, that's the first two. And then the second two are Ratz Katzvi V'Gor Kari. That's by mitzvot. Okay? That's what he says. But the interesting thing, right, to think that these are linked. And not just four separate things, but they're linked, I think is very important. By mitzvot, he says, what's Ratz Katzvi? Same idea. The takeif. Kshala Bertzon Chalu Mod, Laza Mitzvot Tia Ratz Katzvi. Right? You lose inspiration very quickly. So what's Ratz Katzvi? Recognize how quickly you use inspiration. And as soon as you have the inspiration, use it. Right? Use it. Build on it. Do the mitzvah. The im, right? So he thinks it's two-pronged metaphors. Run. But if, God forbid, you start to cool down, the inspiration goes away, then tap into your lion, right? Tap into your strength and force yourself to do it. So it's two-pronged ones. It's be strong, but don't rely on strength to get it right. Try to run away from Yisurim if possible. And mitzvot, use your inspiration. And if, God forbid, you run out of inspiration, well then, find strength. Now, he doesn't really like Rashi. He likes the tour better. Yalla. Okay, I gave you the Yayin Levanon. Yayin Levanon also is a very, very extensive metaphor. He says, Azut Panim is HaMizaker Arim Ulam Leitzim Laksilim Torah. Is you need strength to teach scoffers Torah. You need, it's not just when they make fun of you, it's you want to be a leader and you want to teach people who don't want to learn. You need a strong, right? You need a bit of courage, a little brazenness. Kal Kanesher, what is the lightness? He thinks that's a metaphor for Machshavot Romimot, is to fly high, to engage in the most abstract, the most rarefied, supernal thoughts. What is Ratz Katzvi? That's by midot, right? Which is zrizut, is to do things right away, right? So he has, right, the courage to face people as a leader, right? The ability to think rarefied thoughts. Ratz Katzvi is to do things quickly and fast, no matter what the mitzvah. And Aryeh, he says, yeah, well, that's to overcome taiva. And, right, he says, yeah, the reason is, right, that's a function of Ezu Gibar Kovash Yitzro, and Lasu Ritzon Chaviv Shere Shamayim, Klomar Arbat Aminu Chini Kulan Tovot Shere Meshamish Ben, Lasu Ritzon Avicha Veshamayim. And he just adds that what is the second half of it, and this was Josh's point before, and I think this ties back to the Mishnah Chachma, is remember, what's the second half of the Mishnah? Az panim legehenom. Because remember, each of these qualities is very dangerous. You can utilize them right, but they're very dangerous. And that's why, what is the Mishnah saying? Channel the, and use the power of the emotion, but don't what? Don't use the wrong versions of it, only use it, meaning use emotions, but recognize their inherent dangers. The Yachin Avot, again, says that there's two things going on here. That it's teaching you there are two ways you get to Olam Haba. One is by the things you do, and the other things by the things you avoid. So he says, Kal Kanesher is on the positive, right? Run, learn Torah, Ratz Katzvi, is to run and not overthink mitzvot, right? Don't be too smart. Right? He says, sometimes what is Ratz Katzvi? It's telling you, yeah, be a little bit like an animal, meaning sometimes you, too human, you overthink the mitzvah, you won't do it. Oh, this mitzvah doesn't make sense. He's like, no, run, just go, just do it, don't think, right? Don't think. And run away from minut. The ari, right, is destroy the taiva of the yetzer, right? So again, like I said, you could go through all of these, and each of the perushim has a different aspect. But again, I think the Mesha Chachma is really the organizing, plus what we just saw before in the Yain Levanon, is the idea that we're invoking the animals to recognize the power and danger of emotions, and we're telling you, you want to be an Obed Hashem, channel it Litov, and recognize its dangers and run away from its dangers, but channel, don't ignore them. Channel is important. Let the Seichel guide you and tap in to your inner emotions, your inner animal, to that power that really, really does exist. And again, I gave you the Orat Safon, has another interpretation I gave you very extensively, and we're not going to get to it. Oh, but that's the only thing I had left. Oh, the truth is, besides the Orat Safon, there's only one source less. It just takes forever. If you've ever tried to read the Abarbanel on Perek Yavot, he's endless. So you only just take 2 minutes. You'll just see he gives you like 10 different Perushim on each one. So first of all, he quotes the Tor. He also has a different ones in terms right. So one possibility is that, right, all different ones. Another is that there's a step by step, right, to get up, approach the action, right. So be brazen and then, right, et cetera. So it could be step by step. Let's see. What does he add? That's really important. So in 7, right, he really focuses on this idea that the key here is that we're corresponding to people's physicality, right? Like the Mishnah Chachma, the key here is that we're tapping into our physicality. But you can read it yourself. But again, the organizing metaphor, I think, the reason I wanted to do this is to show you that I think the importance of these animal metaphors is not stam, metaphor is important and powerful, but it's to recognize, yeah, there is an animalistic component to us, but it's dangerous and we have to recognize it, but it's also extremely powerful. And if we can channel it, la'avod Hashem, so then we can succeed. And what the Mesha Chachma thinks that the second Agadata, that one, the hein, whatever, is to recognize, yeah, and sometimes you have to own the fact that part of you is like an animal and don't pretend it's not, because then you'll fail. And by invoking these animal metaphors, what we're doing is reminding people of these dangers and powers that exist in the emotional, instinctual self, and telling us even or especially those sides of you can be channeled to Avodah Hashem and can be tamed to Avodah Hashem. And again, it's like Jonathan Haidt's. You are the rider on top of the elephant, and you have to recognize the dangers and powers come from it. But the mashal of the animal is what's telling you the kocho, the type of kochot that are under discussion. Okay, so that was the thing. And again, I think that really, once you take it from that perspective, the use of animal metaphor is very much part of what teaches the lesson. Okay, shkoyach, guys.